Good morning. It's good to see so many here this morning. I see we've got visitors, we've got members, we've got Twyla. You're all of that, Twyla. This is Potluck Sunday. We've got lots of food. All guests are invited. Cletus, you're invited too. Of course, all of our members we encourage to stay. This is a time of fellowship, a time of joy, and a time of eating. So please stay. Oh, and if I'm not mistaken, well, I don't see her now, but I know I saw her a second ago. Jennifer was here, and I think Bryson is here. So make sure you greet Bryson. He's brand new in this world. Well, he's not quite, about a week old. I've been talking on Sunday mornings about the promise of God to Abraham. And we've been noticing that God is working in history. He's working in our world to make sure that the promise of Abraham is fully fulfilled. Last week we noticed how God worked through the law. But we cannot end our talk on the law of Moses without talking some about the lawgiver, Moses himself. In Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 19, we read, "The Lord your God will give you a prophet like me, who is one of your own people. Listen to him. This is what you asked the Lord your God to do when you were gathered at Mount Sinai. You said, 'Don't make us listen to the voice of the Lord our God again, and don't make us look at this terrible fire anymore, or we will die.' So the Lord said to me, 'What they have said is good. So I will give them a prophet like you, who is one of their own people. I will tell him what to say, and he will tell them everything I command. This prophet will speak for me. Anyone who does not listen when he speaks will answer me." I think this will help us to understand not only Moses, but to understand who Jesus, the Messiah, was. In the New Testament, people often called Jesus a prophet, such as when he asked the disciples who people thought he was. He said, "Some think you're the prophet. Some Elijah, but they think of you as a prophet of God." Jesus, on at least two occasions, referred to himself as a prophet. In Mark 6, 1 through 6, Jesus left there and went to his hometown, and his followers went with him. On the Sabbath day, he taught in the synagogue. Many people heard him and were amazed, saying, "Where did this man get these teachings? What is the wisdom that has been given to him? And where did he get the power to do miracles? He is just the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters are here with us." So the people were upset with Jesus. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not honored everywhere. No, excuse me. A prophet is honored everywhere except in his hometown and with his own people and in his own home." So Jesus was not able to work any miracles there except to heal a few sick people by putting his hands on them. He was amazed at how many people had no faith. Then Jesus went to other villages in that area and taught. And also in Luke 13, 31 through 35, "At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said, 'Go away from here. Herod wants to kill you.' Jesus said to them, 'Go tell that fox Herod, today and tomorrow I am forcing demons out and healing people. But on the third day I will reach my goal. Yet I must be on my way today and tomorrow and the next day. Surely it cannot be right for a prophet to be killed anywhere except in Jerusalem.' And then he said, 'Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets and stone to death those who are sent to you. Many times I wanted to gather your people as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not let me. Now your house is left completely empty. I tell you, you will not see me until the time when you will say, God bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. You see, Jesus called himself a prophet. The people thought of him as a prophet. And we are going to see the New Testament points to the fact that Jesus is the prophet like Moses. The prophet like Moses. In Acts 3:22 and Acts 7:33, we learn that the Jews of New Testament times were expecting this special prophet, the one who would be like Moses. Brothers and sisters, I know you did those things to Jesus because neither you nor your leaders understood what you were doing. God said through the prophets that his Christ would suffer and die. And now God has made these things come true in this way. So you must change your hearts and your lives. Come back to God and he will forgive your sins. Then the Lord will send the time of rest. And he will send Jesus, the one he chose to be the Christ. But Jesus must stay in heaven until the time comes when all things will be made right. God told about this time long ago when he spoke through his holy prophets. Moses said, "The Lord your God will give you a prophet like me, who is one of your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to that prophet will die, cut off from God's people." Samuel and all the other prophets who spoke for God about Samuel told about this time now. You are descendants of the prophets. You have received the covenant God made with your ancestors. He said to your father Abraham, "Through your offspring, all the nations on the earth will be blessed." God has raised up the servant Jesus and sent him to you first to bless you by turning each of you away from doing evil. And in the Gospel according to John, we find this expectation clearly portrayed. John spoke freely. This is John the Baptist. And did not refuse to answer. He said, "I am not the Christ." Then they asked them, "Are you Elijah?" He answered, "No, I am not." "Are you the prophet?" they asked. He answered, "No." But then after Jesus feeds 5,000, the people say, when the people saw this miracle that Jesus did, they said, "He must truly be the prophet who is coming to the world." Jesus knew that the people planned to come and take him by force and make him their king. So he left and went to the hills alone. We see the expectation was there. They were waiting for the prophet, the one who would be like Moses. And I'm here this morning to tell you that Jesus Christ was the prophet, the promised prophet that would be like Moses and who would bring blessings upon the entire world. This expectation arises from the promise that we read in Deuteronomy 18:15 when God told Moses that he would bring a prophet like him and that the people must listen to this prophet. From this time on in Deuteronomy, the Israelites began looking for the prophet that would be like Moses. And in the times of the New Testament, many of the people who believed understood that Jesus of Nazareth was the promised prophet. All the prophets of the Old Testament were given a means whereby they could communicate with God. But Moses had a special relationship with God. He had a close relationship with God. When God spoke to other prophets, we are told he spoke through dreams and through visions. but not to Moses. The Bible says God spoke face to face with Moses, and clearly, that Moses might understand and teach and speak for him. Prophets were instruments whereby God releases His word and His power into the world history and can bring kings to do His will as well as the people. All the prophets of the Old Testament were important, but Moses had outshone them all because Moses was the lawgiver. Moses' fellowship with God goes far and beyond. Listen to these words. As God chastises both Miriam and Aaron, the brother and sister of Moses. This is in Numbers 12:6. He said, "Listen to my words. When a prophet is among you, I, the Lord, will show myself to him in visions. I will speak to him in dreams. But this is not true with my servant Moses. I trust him to lead all my people. I speak face to face with him, clearly and not with hidden meanings. He has even seen the form of the Lord. You should be afraid to speak against my servant Moses." Thus, it is Moses who goes up alone on Mount Sinai to receive the law. He spoke with the Lord on the mountain, and for whom Yahweh writes down His commandments. Indeed, in Deuteronomy, it is through Moses alone that God speaks to His people upon the mountain. The Bible tells us that Moses' face, when he came down from the mountain, shone so brightly that he had to put a veil before his face because of his closeness to the Lord. Surely, thinking on this, Paul wrote these words in 2 Corinthians 4:6. God once said, "Let the light shine out of the darkness." This is the same God who made His light shine in our hearts by letting us know the glory of God that is in the face of Christ. And I think on the story in the Bible in Matthew 17 on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus goes up, and as He is praying, the Bible says He began to shine bright as the sun and His clothes as bright as the stars. And Moses and Elijah came and were speaking to Jesus when the Apostle Peter spoke up. And then there was a loud voice from heaven and a bright light, and the voice said, "This is my Son. Hear Him." And when the apostles looked up, they saw Jesus alone. You see, Moses had vanished. Elijah was gone. There was a new prophet, a new lawgiver upon the face of the earth. And His name was Jesus of Nazareth. He is not only the prophet, but unlike Moses, He was the Son. The one who becomes a prophet like Moses shares an intimate relationship with the Lord. And we see that Jesus had a particularly wonderful relationship with God. Trusted Him, spoke with Him, and was never alone. As Jesus said, "The Father is always with me, and I am always with the Father." Like other prophets of the Old Testament, Moses made intercessions for the people of God. He seeks judgment in their legal decisions from God. He prays to God to heal their diseases and their sickness. But most importantly, he interceded for the sins of Israel. In fact, so concerned was Moses with the life and well-being of his people, that when God wanted to destroy Israel and to start a new line, a new family line through Moses, Moses begged that God not do this. Moses said, I would rather give my life for those of my people, or your people. Forgive your people. Remember your promise. The Bible says that one time the sins were so great, God wanted to destroy the people, that Moses fell on his face, did not eat or drink for 40 days and 40 nights, asking for forgiveness for the people of Israel. 40 days in the wilderness on his face, with no food or water. The Bible says he was meek, the meekest man on the earth at that time. He was not afraid to put others first, even if it meant his own life. And then I think about Jesus. Jesus not only offered to give his life for the sins of the people, the Bible says he did it at the command of the Father. We also read that Jesus was in the desert and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and then was tempted by the devil. Why did Moses and Jesus do this and were ready to do this? That the people, by their death, might enter the promised land. We can see Moses as a type of suffering prophet for Israel. When the people make the golden calf at the foot of Mount Sinai, it was Moses who bore the wrath of God. This is when he laid prostrate for 40 days and 40 nights, pleading for Israel that God would not destroy them. And although it was the sins of Israel, it was Moses who bore the wrath for the people as a type that Jesus would later fulfill upon the cross. But like the one who was to come after him, Moses bore this wrath gladly, suffering for his people silently and without protest. That's why Moses was called the meekest man on the face of the earth at that time. In Deuteronomy 3:24 and 34:5, Moses is called a servant of the Lord. And truly the picture we have of him reminds us of the suffering servant in Isaiah 53:7-8. He was beaten down and punished, but he didn't say a word. He was like a lamb being led to the kill, to be killed. He was quiet as a sheep is quiet while its wool is being cut. He never opened his mouth. Men took him away roughly and unfairly. He died without children to continue his family. He was put to death. He was punished for the sins of my people. But these words are not spoken about Moses. Moses was the type, but these words were spoken about the prophet who would come that would be like Moses. And it is in these ways that we see that Jesus Christ is truly the one likened to Moses. Because it was Jesus who fulfilled what was said in Isaiah 53 about the suffering servant of God. It was he who must die upon the cross for the sins of the world. Also, a likeness. Moses was the lawgiver. Moses not only brought the law of the Lord, but he led the people into righteousness. Jesus is the modern day lawgiver. Jesus brought the new law, starting the new covenant of God's people, as was promised also in Jeremiah. It was Jesus, the new lawgiver, that was a blessing for all the world. A blessing for every nation as promised to Abraham by God many, many, many long years before. Jesus was truly the long-awaited prophet that had been promised by God, like unto Moses. He truly was the expected one. And we should note at the close of this sermon the words that are stated in Deuteronomy and repeated at the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew. Him you shall heed. The same words that were spoken at the Mount of Transfiguration. We are to listen to the new lawgiver, because life is nowhere else. How is it with your life? Have you accepted the new lawgiver into your life and into your heart? Is he your king? Have you washed away your sins in baptism as he has commanded? Are you living a life as a Christian with Lord number one? If not, please come as we stand and sing our invitation song.